We're going to start the sermon today by showing you a video. It's a commercial. It's about 30 seconds long, and it is about something that was on TV last week about giving to help others and feeling good about it.
Card to help fight cancer.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for standing up to cancer. Okay, I gotta go. What time are you guys close?
6:30.
Ah! Hey girls, thank you for standing up to cancer. Thank you for standing up to cancer.
When everyone does their part,
pretty sweaty.
Priceless. Spend $10 or more with your MasterCard when you dine out, and MasterCard will donate up to $4 million to stand up to cancer, one precious cent at a time.
All right. There is a commercial. You probably saw it last summer. And when I see commercials like that, I'm amazed because they're commercials that make you want to feel good, but they make you want to feel good for really not doing anything. When you think about the commercial, we're going to talk about it for a couple of minutes, it calls us to feel good about really not doing anything. You can stand up to cancer. There's nothing wrong with the Stand Up for Cancer campaign, a wonderful campaign. But according to MasterCard, all you have to do to stand up to cancer is take yourself out to lunch and spend $10. Take yourself out to lunch, spend at least $10, and if you do that, MasterCard will give up to $4 million to help stand up for cancer. And that sounds really great and wonderful, but did you catch in the commercial how much did MasterCard give every time you went out for lunch? Did anyone catch it? That's right. Right here. A penny. 1 cent at a time, it says in the commercial, okay? Which means that if 400 million people went out for lunch and spent $10, they would give the $4 million. Now, I will admit at the Bolgren's household, that's like 3.5 weeks of eating out. But think about that. They probably spent more on the commercial than they spent giving the money away. They probably spent more airing the commercial than the money they gave away. But these kind of commercials are very popular. They're very good because it says, I'm a nice person, I'm doing something nice for someone else, and I really don't have to do anything at all to do it. That is a real feel-good idea. And we see that again and again in our society. A lot of people wear ribbons for one cause or another. And I'm not saying anything detrimental to people who wear ribbons, because a lot of people who do, they are very involved in what they are doing. But it's gotten to the point that a lot of these things become nothing more than a fashion statement. And I would imagine a lot of people spend more money on their outfit that matches their ribbon, whatever color it is, than they do on actually giving money to help others. We have that kind of mentality in our society which says, I can sit back and relax like the dad on the couch while someone else does all the work and I can feel good about it. I have actually heard of people who say that my taxes are my charitable contributions. Okay? Who here has given a lot of charity this year, right? Okay, yeah. That the money that the government makes me pay is actually my charitable contribution to others. No, it's not. It's your taxes. And we as Christians need to keep the distinction between true sacrificial giving and all this other stuff. Maybe the best example of this is the 4th of July. We who celebrate the 4th of July today, for many Americans, it becomes a party day, right? It's a day to grill out. It's a day to have your friends over. You'll probably see one or two commercials about beer tied into the 4th of July. It's a day to have a great time and a day to go and see the fireworks. That's what 4th of July is for us today. But imagine many people today, they don't think about the sacrifice that went into the 4th of July. Because the sacrifice tied into this day is amazing. This is the last line of the Declaration of Independence. This is the last line of those documents that those men signed in 1776. And listen to the sacrifice they were making when they signed this document. And for the support of this declaration, with the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They put their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor on the line when they signed the Declaration of Independence. It was a sacrifice for that. And many of our founding fathers, they did suffer great personal hardship because they signed. But they knew what a sacrifice was, and they were willing to make it. All through our Grow in Grace appeal, we are talking about sacrifice. We're holding up the image from Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul calls us to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. And there are Christians who feel that I don't have to do this, that others in the church will make up for me if I don't do it. But the Bible talks about sacrifice. The Bible talks about giving something up, and it talks about doing so willfully and joyfully. That's what we are all called to do in the church. You know someone who never puts a new role on? Okay? Someone who they'll just leave it, or maybe they'll put a new role on top. And what do they think? Well, if I don't do it, someone else is going to do it, right? There are Christians in the church kind of like this. This is the one image people are going to take away from this sermon. I'm sorry. The Declaration of Independence is wonderful, but no, you're going to remember the toilet paper, aren't you? But that's the way a lot of people are. I don't need to do anything because if I don't, someone else will do it for me. Now, again, that's true, but it's unfortunate, and it's not what we want. We are talking about growing in grace. We are, during these weeks of our Capital Fund appeal, we are stressing that each one of us, we are called to do what we can sacrificially to make a difference, to do so joyfully, to do so willingly. In the booklets we have given you, there are copies again in the pews if you need an extra copy. J9 of the reading says, "No one can give your part but you." We're each called to do our own part for our Grow in Grace appeal, and we're called to do so sacrificially. Last week I said to you, you don't fund a Capital Fund appeal on pocket change. For our Grow in Grace appeal to succeed, and I truly believe it will succeed, we all need to give sacrificially. And that's what our story from 2 Kings is about. It's a strange story. King David has done something which has angered the Lord. And the Lord has brought a pestilence upon Israel. And to remove the pestilence, David is told by his prophet Gad that he needs to make a sacrifice. Now, what has David done? David has taken a census. Now, for us today, we take census every 10 years in the United States. We do so for representation. We do so to know how many people are in the country. But in the ancient world, and it's kind of hard for us to understand today, God didn't want David to count the people because the people belonged to David, or to God. And for the king to count the people, and you don't take a census just to find out how many people you've got in the country. In the ancient world, you took a census so you knew how much money you could raise by taxes, and you took a census, then you knew how many guys you had of military age for your army. When David took that census, we think it angered the Lord because David took something that belonged to the Lord. The people belonged to the Lord and not to the king. And so to punish David and for what he has done, a plague strikes the entire nation, which seems, again, kind of strange to us. And to end the plague, David was commanded by his prophet, a man named Gad, to make a sacrifice to the Lord. He was to go to a man named Arona, who owns some property, and the upper area of Jerusalem. This would be where the temple would end up being built. And David was to go and buy the land from Arona and there make a sacrifice, and this sacrifice that the king would make would remove the plague from Israel. Well, when David went to Arona and told him what he needed to do, Arona said, "Oh, king, you don't have to buy it. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the land. I'll give you the oxen. I'll even give you the wood to burn the animals on. It's a gift from me to you, king." But David will have none of that. And he says to Arona, "No, I will buy them from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." David realized he was the one who was responsible for all the trouble the nation was going through, and he was the one who had to make the sacrifice. Then there's our gospel today, the much more well-known story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, this man who works for the Romans, who is hated by everyone in his hometown of Jericho, the one who climbs the tree so he can see Jesus because he's a short little guy, no one's going to let him get in the front row of the parade. He climbs up the tree, and Jesus stops and looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down. We're having dinner tonight, and you're picking up the tab." And Zacchaeus, he comes down to Jesus and he is filled with joy. And what does he say? He says, Lord, from now on, I will give away half of everything I have. And if I ever overcharge anyone taxes, I will give them a 400% refund. It'd be nice if the IRS operated that way, huh? But Zacchaeus, in his meeting with Jesus, he is transformed into a new person who has joy in his life, who has love in his life, and who, without even being asked, gives sacrificially. He is thrilled to do so. As we talk about grow in grace, we talk about sacrifice. And every one of us here at Grace, we are being asked to consider what true sacrifices we will give. We're called to sacrifice of our lives. We're called to sacrifice of our lifestyles. We're called to sacrifice of our financial security for the sake of the Lord's work in this particular place. You and I, we are called to give generously. We are called to give sacrificially. We are called to give creatively, and there is a lot of creative giving going on around this church. And we are called to give joyfully, remembering that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. On day 19 of our booklets, we hear these words. Making a sacrifice actually means giving up something of meaningful value to you in order to give to something that means even more to you. It is giving up something you care about to something you love even more. The lasting effect of such giving should not be to hurt. We don't want you to give till it hurts. But rather the joy discovered in giving yourself to those things that are most important to you. We are talking about giving till you feel joy. And I'm going to ask Beth Walsh to come up. And Beth is actually one of the leaders of our Grow in Grace appeal. And Beth is going to share with you what she and her family are doing sacrificially for our Grow in Grace appeal.
Thanks, Paul. Perhaps some of you remember the book by Ken Follett, Pillars of the Earth. Recently it was made into HBO made a miniseries out of it. What I remember most clearly about that movie and that book were that the people who built the cathedrals in the medieval ages would never see the results of their labor. They would work for decades. I mean, these cathedrals took decades, sometimes over a century, to be built, but they would never live long enough to see the results. They did it because they believed in their Lord, and they wanted to glorify God, not because they wanted any reward. John and I last year remodeled our home. It's a 1900-year-old farm. It was built in 1900. It's an old farmhouse, and part of it had no insulation. So the project started because we wanted insulation in the walls. Well, as most home remodeling projects do, it expanded, it changed, it became rather extensive, and it was very expensive. But we did it anyway because we wanted it for us. We were glorifying us and our house. We wanted it our way. And then the Grow in Grace campaign started, and we started to think about what are we going to do to contribute. Some of you might know that John sold his business 3 years ago. He was an owner of Panera Bread. And we have had no income for the last 3 years, but we've had our assets from the sale of the business, and that's what we've been living on. So to make a contribution means we give from our savings. And we were talking about it. How could we just did this big remodel. How can we give another big chunk of money? We have kids in college. I'm in seminary. We have another son who needs to go to college. But how can I tell God that it's okay to remodel my own house, but I can't give to the church? I couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. So we'll be making a significant contribution to the Grow in Grace campaign out of our savings. Is it a wise investment? Will we get a return on this investment financially? Of course not. But just like those builders in the book, Pillars of the Earth, the builders of those cathedrals, we may not see the results of our labor, but somebody will. As part of a seminary project for a class I had to do, I was looking at the census for Ozaukee County. Did you know that there are 30,000 people living in Ozaukee County who are not connected to a church yet? It doesn't mean they're atheist or not believers. It doesn't mean they're not Christian. It means they're not connected. I wonder if there's room for some of those here at Grace, if that remodel makes room for them here. Did you know that there's almost 2,000 people in Ozaukee County living below the poverty line? And in 2014, that poverty line is $25,000 a year for a family of four. That means that could be 500 families of four tonight not sure where they're going to sleep, not sure what they're going to have lunch or dinner today. I wonder if our remodel could make room for us to be part of Family Promise, that homeless shelter initiative that churches are getting together to do. If we had more room, if we had a remodeled building, we could be a part of that. If our kitchen was remodeled, the health department might approve it for us to prepare meals for them. We would never be approved as the health department looked at our kitchen today. These are all dreams, and there may be dreams that the Holy Spirit is leading us to that we don't even know about yet, but could be part of our remodel. So as I think about, can we do this? Can we give up more of our savings? I can't tell God no. And I hope you'll join me too. Thanks.
Again, we've been stressing through all these weeks of our appeal that we know not everyone in this church can give gifts that are the same in the amount of dollars. We are very thankful for those who have given very generous gifts. But we are also equally as thankful for those who will give much smaller gifts because they are still giving sacrificially. They are giving as best they can with the resources they have. That is what this is all about. That's what sacrificial giving is. When we preach sermons every once in a while, we as pastors will get some feedback from people on our sermons as they walk out. Nice sermon, Pastor. Thank you for your sermon, Pastor. That was the most brilliant, theologically insightful thing I've ever heard in my life. Why is the choir? Why are you laughing? But last week, I think I got one of the nicest comments ever about one of my sermons. As I shared with you last week what Karen and I are planning on doing, how we are cutting back on eating out, how I'm giving all the money from weddings and funerals for the next 3 years, how Karen's going to be giving some of her Social Security checks, how I'm selling part of my coin collection. I made a list of what I was doing and what we are doing. And after church last Sunday, a father of two young children came up to me and he pulled out a piece of paper and he said, "You know what? As I listened to you today, I started my list. I started my list of what we are going to do to make a sacrificial gift." That's what we're called to do, all of us, to prayerfully consider what sacrificial gifts we will give to the Lord. How we will sacrifice for the sake of our church, how we will sacrifice for the sake of our children, how we will sacrifice for the sake of the Lord and for future generations. And this is not anything new. The words of Psalm 78, written thousands of years ago, call the people of Israel to consider their faith in terms of what their faith will do for future generations. The psalmist starts, not quite on the screen yet, I'll tell you when I get to the words on the screen. "The Lord established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our ancestors to teach to their children," and here's the part on the screen now, "so that we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders, so that they should set their hopes in God." That's what this is about. Our efforts today, so that current generations and future generations will set their hope in God. There's MasterCard giving, which is nice, and I'm sure they raised a lot of money, but it's feel-good giving for doing practically nothing. It's my prayer for all of us that we will know what it is to grow in grace. And it is my prayer that all of us will feel so very good. We will know such great joy for making a real and a personal sacrifice for the work of the Lord. I invite you to take just a quiet moment and pray to the Lord, asking him that he will lead you to that kind of real and joyful sacrifice. Amen.